Blog Talk Radio.
Moment I've been waiting on. Till my soul is overflowing with anxieties and expectations. Full of desire. Oh, I just want it so bad. And it just seems so real. It's right there. Just wanna reach out and touch it before it all disappears.
Sometimes it feels like everything is passing me by. Every now and then it feels like my ship has gone and sailed away. But I gotta be strong. Gotta hold on. It won't be too long.
Now the tide is coming in. I see the waves flowing out there on the ocean. I know my ship is coming in. Horizon, and right where the sky
ends, out there on the ocean, know my ship is coming in, so don't leave me hanging. I've been waiting too long for this moment. My ship has finally come. I will travel to the seven seas. It's like fighting with gravity, and it's bringing me down. If this world is really round, then tell me out. It's just a note for you to come around.
Master Farad Muhammad, the all-wise, almighty, true and living God who has come to us this day in person and raised up and left in our midst the greatest and the last of the apostles, prophets, and messengers of God to ever live. We speak about none other than our leader, teacher, and guide in these final days of judgment, the most holy and humble Elijah Muhammad. And we greet all of our listening and viewing audience with the greetings of peace, love, and paradise in the original language of Arabic, which means peace be unto you. We say to you all in both their names, Assalamu alaikum. For those of you who may wish to participate in our discussion today, you're welcome to call in at 347-989-0855. That's 347-989-0855. Or you can hit us up with a message at Hiram1555@yahoo.com. That's Hiram1555@yahoo.com. As always, we'd like to thank you for giving us another hour of your day and another day of your time. We'd like to thank the thousands of you who listen to us live and the thousands of you who will download us later from all of our affiliate sites, be it Hiram1555.tumblr.com, Twitter.com/Hiram1555, Facebook.com/Hiram1555, BlogTalkRadio.com/Hiram1555, and our main news blog, which is formerly TrumpetOfTruth.wordpress.com, which is now the Hiram's 1555 blog at Hiram1555.com. Now, into the show immediately, because this is in the news, and there's a lot going on, brothers and sisters. I tell you, there's a lot going on. I know a lot of people want to hear about Russia, but what you're going to hear about is what's going on in America real quick. I'm going to start off with a quote out of a chapter of The Fall of America, as it comes to me right now, on chapter 46, The Great Days, The Terrible Days of God. Let me say that chapter's name again. The Great Days, The Terrible Days of God. Now, this is going hand in hand within the news. But look at this chapter again. Look at the title of it first. The Great Days. Then the Great Days are preceded by the words, The Terrible Days of God. I remember the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us about the great and dreadful days of God. He said that they would be great for those who embrace the teachings and follow him, but they would be dreadful for all of the rejecters, the hypocrites, and the disbelievers. This is what he's talking about in this chapter titled, The Great Days, The Terrible Days of God. They are great for we who follow the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and they are dreadful for all of you who reject him, who only listen to him in passing by or stopping for a second. For those of you who try to make mock of him and write him out of history, these will be very terrible days for you, because these are terrible days of God for the believers, disbelievers. The reason I'm talking on this is because the Bible warns us about these days. And in all these days, what makes this day great, real great for us, is that as we see all of the signs, and they look like neon billboards now, all of the signs that are pointing towards the destruction of America and the end of white domination globally and a change in worlds universally. We see that the Bible tells us that when we see these signs, we're supposed to rejoice because our redemption is nigh. See, we're not supposed to be hard. Our hearts are not supposed to be heavy. We're not supposed to be walking around frowning and acting a fool. That's for the five foolish virgins. We are the five wise virgins, and we are supposed to walk with our head up, acknowledging the signs and preparing ourselves for what is to come after the signs. So these are great days for those of us who watch as well as pray, but these are terrible days for those who are the rejectors and the deniers of God's words, God's prophets, God's apostles, and God's messengers, especially his last messenger, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. In the last paragraph of this chapter, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad ends it like this. He says, the great days, the terrible days, people are being shot down on the streets, right in their homes, or while walking the streets. They are blown down as though their lives are nothing. The great days, the terrible days. Why did I read that chapter? And why did I read that verse? It's because this is what has become pervasive in society today. A lot of you don't understand that America, her very foundation, is built in iniquity, and it is established in blood. her founding was a violence. They took this nation in violence, and they took us and brought us here in violence. So if the very beginnings of her life, of her nationhood, was that of violence, surely she must be taken in that which she was conceived of. Not only was she conceived in violence, this beast lives in violence. Violence is her life blood, her life's vein. We're going to listen to something shortly. This devil really defended Islam, but I'm not going to play that clip there. It was on the Bill Maher show, and I'm not going to play, but I'm going to play something. I don't have it uploaded. We could not upload this. They refused to let it upload, or you can even download it to your computers. But I do have it in an article, and I am going to play it through my microphone for you to let you know just how violent things are getting. And it's only going to intensify, brothers and sisters. And that's why I can see now when Brother Saladin used to always tell us, brother, it was given us in the temple that it may come a time when the Muslims would have to walk the streets in four, groups of four. You wouldn't, sometimes you would be scared to leave your houses because of the violence that'll be going on, and people will be going crazy. I see what he was talking about. I didn't see that when he told me that 20-some years ago. But I see that today. You can walk. You don't even have to leave your house, as one of the young girls was killed a week ago, in her own house. People shot through the wall, killed her. Oh, brother, the violence is astronomical. But what is to be expected in America? And the only protection that you have, black man and black woman, is to fly close to Allah by hitching a ride with his messenger. That's why Muhammad constantly says, come follow me. Submit to Allah and come follow me. Come to me. I am the door. If you do not listen to Elijah Muhammad, you'll miss the key way of protection, and that is running to Elijah Muhammad, that God may put you in his bosoms and hide you in his temple through all of this storm and tempest. But if you don't run to him, you will be a victim of the dreadful days of Allah. On page 249, and I've read this before, but this has more significance today. It says this right here. The most wicked people who ever lived on the earth are in the Western Hemisphere. As the Bible teaches us that God said, that to him, this is like Sodom and Gomorrah. Allah did say that the wickedness of the day of Noah and his people, and Lot and his people, was no more than child's play compared to the wickedness of today. For they are highly educated. They are scientists at making wickedness for themselves. Day and night, up and down the streets, the people are killing, murdering each other. We do not know very much about what is going on in Europe, but we do see it right here in this city of Chicago, Illinois. The radio and the television announce to the public that murdering and killings are taking place continually. Now, you're going to have to listen to this. As a matter of fact, let me get this prepared while I'm talking to you. I'm going to have to do a little black ingenuity to let you hear this clip right here, brothers and sisters. I believe this is about right. So pay close attention. I'm going to take my headphones off, and I'm going to put it right up to the computer speaker, and I want you to hear the violence that is taking place in Chicago. Brothers and sisters, please pay close attention. And if you get disconnected, you know the deal. You know the drill. You know how they try to do us, okay? let me try to get this together, and here we – it should start playing right now. Oh, hold on 1 second. Hold on. They're talking about the Chicago thing right now. And one last thing I have to add. But I want you to pay close attention to this, okay? All right.
Has more on a violent weekend in the city.
Chicago police shot and killed a man they say ran from a car that was pulled over for a traffic violation in the city's Lawndale neighborhood near 16th and Springfield.
Passenger jumped out of the car. The officers started chasing the passenger. They're chasing him down the alley. He fell. They could see as he's running, he's got a gun in his belt, in his back. As he goes to the ground, he's falling and reaching for the gun at the same time. At that point, the officers open fire.
But the man's mother, who identified her son as Antoine Johnson, says he ran from the police because he was scared, not because he did anything wrong.
They didn't even give him time to hold, stop, no call or anything, just shot my son in his back.
She says she wants answers and maintains her son is the victim.
You shot him for no reason. No reason.
In a separate incident, four men were shot inside of a nightclub at 79th and Ellis in the Grand Crossing neighborhood. 40-year-old Todd Wood died as a result of his injuries from that shooting when police say someone opened the door to the club and opened fire. And in yet another unrelated shooting, 16-year-old Kevin Rivera was killed in the Hermosa neighborhood. Police say someone riding a bicycle shot him in the 4100 block of West North Avenue. In all, the various shootings stretched from 94th and St. Louis up to North and Pulaski. They come on the heels of police officials' recent claims that crime in the city has been down and neighborhood violence on the decline. Now, police say all of those incidents are still under investigation. With regard to the police-involved shooting at 16th and Springfield, the Independent Police Review Board continues to investigate that case. At 51st and Wentworth, Andrea Darlis, WGN.
Yes. Now, what's significant about that? Because in the city of Chicago, and I'm trying to cut off this video as we're talking, but as in the city of Chicago, over 46 people were shot in Chicago over the weekend. 46! Brothers and sisters, 46! The violence is astronomical. There wasn't that many bombings or shooting in Afghanistan, in Libya, Iraq, or Syria, and there's full-blown, full-fledged war zones. Why? Mainly in Chicago is because Chicago they refuse to accept a lost messenger in their midst. He had been in their midst for all those years, for decades, teaching. Yet Chicago, they passed him by as though he was just a peer of Martin King or a peer of Drew Ali or a peer of someone else when he had no peers. This man is a divinely raised man who met with God himself, and his works bear him witness and his teachings confirm it, because there has never been an in-depth teaching like this man's teaching ever before. All other people are remixing their teachings right now. Yeah, they're remixing them because the original version flopped. And so they're trying to go platinum with the people and start incorporating the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's teachings in their own teachings to make those who they look at look above the fray. No, it doesn't work like that. We can go into this and we can show you where you have stolen the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And brothers and sisters, never before that man had you had such an in-depth analysis on everything. And being in the midst of Chicago, they rejected that man. So now God is visiting chastisement upon America, but especially in Chicago. It didn't come by coincidence that Chicago has become the murder capital not only of America, but of the entire world. Huh? Oh, Chicago, you city of hypocrites. What didn't Elijah Muhammad say that? Oh, Chicago, you city of hypocrites. Didn't he give a warning to Chicago for their rejection of him in their midst? So now Allah is plaguing Chicago, and he's plaguing America. He is whipping and beating. These are the winds that God told that son of man to prophesy to so that it would give life to the dead. We only stood up. You see us standing up. Black Power, Black Panthers, Pan-African Council, the Pan-African Newswire, all of these different things, the Black Socialists, the Black Diaspora from Africa and around the world, all of these different organizations, they are standing up, but still no life is in them, because they do not have the core of Elijah Muhammad's teachings, which are the life-giving teachings. So even though they're standing up, and we look at them and we see them standing up, they have no life in them. So it takes the winds of war, the winds of poverty, the winds of abuse by the police and the governments, the winds of unjust policies and unjust sentences, hunger, poverty, homelessness, sickness, disease, lack. All of these winds are now beating hard upon Chicago and upon America, and especially in the black neighborhoods, because of your refusal to accept God's holy messenger. It's simple as that. Some of you want to give long, in-depth analysis on certain things that's going on. Open your Bible. You know, I notice this about you Christians. You talk Bible till somebody actually goes in the Bible and opens it up and shows you the Bible. Then when you show it to them, you get, no. Even though it's right there, you believe the Bible until the Bible is explained to you in a way that you can understand it. So long as it's filled with spookology and you have an expiation for your rejection of truth, you're good to go. But when somebody removes the cloak or the curtain, you act like you're going into convulsions or something like that. You're crazy. But it only is going to intensify. God has his hands over America, and he's going to bring her low. You Negroes are crazy. Listen to me good. And I'm saying this in truth. You can't do business with you Negroes. You can't befriend you Negroes. You can't love them. Why? Because you don't love yourself. And even when you try to love them, they backstab you, hurt you, or try to get over on you. So the only way to return you to the proper thinking, the proper actions, is to remove all those things that you hold dear to you. And when you turn to the left and to the right and you realize that you can't escape what is upon you, then you're going to be forced to look at truth. You're going to be forced to accept truth. Look at Pharaoh. I love bringing up Pharaoh because he's a perfect example, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, of someone bucking up against God. And Pharaoh of ancient Egypt, he was so drunk on power that he thought he can whoop God. Uh-oh, that reminds you of a country of the day, don't it? And he kept building up his military might. And then when he bucked up against God, as the waters overtook him, he realized that even he and his army could not handle God. So in his dying moments, the realization of the fall had set in. And even he, before he gave out and gave in, had to admit, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. There is no, God is the greatest. There is no God. He says this. He says, God is the greatest. God is the greatest. There is no God but Allah. He was forced to say that, and brothers and sisters, when that sea threw his body up in the 50s, his mouth was still open in that position of speaking Allahu Akbar. You can go look at it in the museums, because he had bucked up against a power to which he could not defeat, and that was Allah in the person of Jehovah. So, this is America today. This is some of you Negroes today. You're bucking up against God. Don't you know when you willfully and knowingly do things that are contrary to your nature, that are contrary to the laws of nature, that are contrary to the God who produced nature, you are declaring war on him. Because you're saying, I want to see if you have enough power to punish me. I want to see if you have enough power to make me bow or stop eating swine or stop drinking alcohol or stop acting a fool. That's what you're doing. But like Pharaoh, as my mom used to always tell us, a hard head carries a soft behind, right? And we're watching that. All these people that we know and we see and we love, they're dying. They're being locked up. All because of the rejection of God's messenger, God's message in God. This is the time where the black man has to stop being a Negro and turn to his God and his messenger and reclaim his own and start the process of returning himself to the original man, the original mind, and the original state in which we are as a nation. This is the time. or else you're going to suffer the consequences. You can't get around this no more. You are not going to be able to get around this. Some of you love this country so much. Some of you love these fools so much that you're willing to give everything for them, but you won't give nothing for yourself. The white man calls you and points you to Vietnam and say, go over there and kill them. You gladly go over there. They kill you, you kill them. The white man still rules both of y'all. You're a fool. What has Vietnam benefited the black man in America? What has the wars of Iraq and all of these other wars benefited the black man of America? We need to tell the government we're not going with nobody. If we're going to declare war, it's going to be on you, our abuser, misuser, and oppressor. Huh? Instead of warring with people who've never called you nigger, let them fight their battles over there. And when you go to war over there, as soon as you come back home, they treat you worse than they treated you before you ever signed up to go. I'm not telling you something that's a lie. You can point to it. You can touch it. You can taste it, smell it, see it. It's everywhere in the atmosphere over this corrupt nation. And it's driving us insane. And some of us, we're just losing everything. Like I was going to play a clip about a week ago about this black police officer. Just went insane. Just went. Matter of fact, I'm going to play it anyhow. It's a 51-second clip. Check this out. This is the insanity that is now going on. A law is touching both the slave and the slave masters. But I'm going to play this 51-second clip. Brothers and sisters, I want you to pay close attention to the insanity of our other people.
And we begin with some breaking news out of Dallas County tonight. An officer with the Selma Police Department shoots and kills two people before turning the gun on himself. Good evening and thanks for tuning in tonight. I'm John O'Connor. The shootings happened today in two different locations. The body of the officer and his ex-girlfriend were found on the 2400 block of Springdale Street. The body of an adult male who's been identified as her stepfather was found on the 300 block of 10th Avenue. Police have identified that officer as Dwight Moore. He has been with the Selma Police Department for nearly 5 years. He's also an Army vet who spent two tours in Iraq. Officials say Moore was off duty at the time. They found the bodies of Moore and his ex-girlfriend inside a vehicle parked in a driveway. Police have now turned this investigation over to the Alabama Bureau of Investigations. We hope to have much more for you tomorrow morning on Today in Alabama.
You see, the insanity, brothers and sisters, this thing is intensifying, the insanity. And then you still believe that you have hope in this beast. You still believe that this man has a brighter future for you. You still believe that? I see you out there picking it and riding with your white counterparts. Well, we need jobs. No, what you need to do is let this world go, unify with your own kind, and that'll produce the jobs that you need. Because they can't produce them no more. They can't do it. They're lying to you in the numbers. You know what? You people are from Missouri. So today we're going to give you a deep dose of what's really going on. I want you to pay attention to these two clips. I'm going to play them back to back. I'm going to play them, and once one goes off, I'm going to come in for commentary and play the next one about the situation and the lies that they're telling you, brothers and sisters, about the jobs and the economy. Pay close attention to this. I'm telling you, I'm kind of frustrated with you, brothers and sisters, because the truth is right there, and yet you're rejecting this right in your face. And I know you can't see it unless Allah wants you to see it. But as a black man who loves his people, I'm trying to let you see what the devil is reporting. So, because you don't believe what black folks say, you only take what your master say. So that's the reason I get these clips to play them for you, to let you know you can't run around this. You can't get out of the sphere of what we're talking about, because truth is a light unto itself. Pay close attention to how they're telling you how America's fudging the job numbers. And then after that, we're going to talk about how they still discriminate against you who are going over there to fight the wars, you who are giving them free labor, and you who have voted for the so-called first black president of America. First, we're going to listen to this, okay, black man, black woman? Pay close attention.
It's all over headlines in the U.S. Unemployment falls to its lowest rate since 2008, the time right before the bottom fell out of the U.S. economy. According to reports, the economy added more than 200,000 jobs, and the nation's official unemployment rate dipped to 7.7%, leading to optimism for White House number crunchers.
The American economy has created private sector jobs in each one of those months for 36 consecutive months, for a total of almost 6.4 million private sector jobs. That is a pretty good indication of the trajectory that we're on.
But those numbers are not telling the whole story. The figures behind the headlines paint a grim picture for those who face the toughest prospects of finding a job, the nation's long-term unemployed and minorities.
You've exported the labor base, and yet you want to give amnesty to up to, what, 15 to 20 million people. So where will that put African Americans who've been here?
Here are some statistics that indicate the disparity. While the unemployment rate among white people stands at 6.8%, for black people the figure is 13.8%, only down from 14.1% in February. Latinos have a 9.6% unemployment rate.
It may seem like the U.S. jobs market is recovering, but those who have been out of work the longest are still struggling. And the long-term unemployed in the U.S. has been one of the most unresolved problems in the U.S. economic recovery.
The number of Americans regarded as not in the labor force in February was 89.3 million, a record high from 89 million in January, according to the Department of Labor. This means that the number of Americans not in the labor force increased 296,000 between January and February.
Obama follows in the footsteps of Bush and Clinton. The national labor policy for the United States is immigration.
The data may show an economy experiencing a recovery, but not everyone is included in the economic revival. For the millions who are still unemployed, it indicates that the U.S. recovery is anemic at best. Colin Campbell, Press TV, Washington.
Did you hear that? Brothers and sisters, did you hear that? You've been here the longest. You built the country up, and still you are at the bottom of the economic and social political ladder, regardless of that man in the White House, because that man, that black face in the White House, is enacting white policies to keep the black man that's down here in the fields on the plantation. It's just ridiculous, brothers and sisters. It's unbelievable as we see these things here. So we're going to play another clip here. As we see these things, I'm going to play this other clip, and then we'll be right back right after this clip.
While the U.S. government touts its new lower unemployment figures, more than 13 million Americans are still out of work. In addition to high competition for a small number of openings, people who have been struggling to find work are facing an additional challenge. A wide range of companies that have jobs but won't even talk to you if you're unemployed.
I'm actually pretty depressed about the whole situation.
Julian Jackson has been out of work for 2 years. He, like many people in America, are frustrated by this additional hurdle, since some already face a measure of employment discrimination based on their sex, race, or age.
I'm pretty sad about it. I still can't get a job. And it's just, I'm just in a pretty bad position right now.
Most U.S. corporations, large and small, now use internet job search websites to screen potential applicants. In addition to education requirements, previous experience, and salary exceptions, thousands of ads tell the unemployed they, quote, need not apply. Dr. Joseph Tate runs a New York program that helps minorities find work.
It's absurd to lose the experience that people have, and simply because they are not now employed, to say you cannot now be employed. It also allows, to be political, some of the people who are saying that's why we should not continue the unemployment insurance.
Some of the major companies engaging in this practice include BMW America. While looking for an experienced pre-owned sales manager in New York, their listing told applicants they had to be currently employed to apply. Allstate Insurance did the same when looking for a licensed agent in Alabama. Johns Hopkins University Medical Center in Maryland told qualified but unemployed applicants to pass on their research program supervisor's position.
You're getting somebody not only who needs a job, somebody who has experience already. So they're bringing something to the table that you're getting from somewhere else. So why not use this person then and take somebody off the unemployment rolls?
Currently, the practice is legal, and there's no pending legislation that would penalize companies for actually blocking the unemployed for applying for work. It's already illegal in the United States to tell blacks, Latinos, homosexuals, women, or the disabled not to apply for available jobs because of who they are. Well, apparently it seems millions are now the target of a particular bias they are powerless to protest and even more frustrated in trying to fix. Gary Anthony Ramsey, Press TV, New York.
All praise is due to Allah. Now, this is being done, and not one word is said, not one tear is shed, while you got a so-called black president in the office. But Muhammad told us what to expect. He said there are black politicians who would like to use their black people for selfish greed and will throw them behind any crook with money. Black politicians of this type have sold their black brothers to suffering and shame for self-elevation with the crook. What has he done for black America, I ask you? When has he spoken in defense of black America, I ask you? When has he implemented any economic or social or political policy that benefits black America, I ask you? And for your, for all of you black people who listen to this, who get offended at this, I want you to rebut what I'm saying. Don't be emotional. Be logical. Rebut what I'm saying. This man has enacted policies that has grabbed more wealth from black people than even George Bush did. He has put us more back on the plantation than most of the other presidents did. This man cares nothing for black America. It's one thing to speak it. It's another thing to live it and act it. This man don't care about you, and the only time you hear him talking to you is when he's talking down to you what the black fathers need to do or what the black people need to do, not ever what he needs to do. You don't hear him say what he needs to do. He'll say, well, I'm not just the president of black America. I'm the president of all America. Yeah, but what about all of those previous presidents who were white? They were the president of all America, but that did not stop them from enacting policies that benefited white America. You say, well, I have to go through Congress. You don't go through Congress when you want to bomb a country. You don't go through Congress when they won't give you appropriations for war. What you do, you just fandangle the books. So you give more money. Spy, $50 billion ain't enough, so I got to up it by $700 billion, huh? So I got to up the spy budget to $750 billion. That's more than almost every country's entire GDP on earth. You go from $400 billion to over $1 trillion and some, almost $2 trillion on budget and off budget war materials. Huh? You delayed the black farmers from getting their repatriation and reparations for the ill done to them through policy and through government inaction. You killed that. Every moment that you have had to show yourself as sympathetic with your people who look like you, walk like you, talk like you, you have turned a blind eye and a deaf ear and a dumb tongue of speaking righteousness to your people. You're a fool. And anyone who embraces this Negro is crazy as hell. Uh-oh, Minister Farrakhan. That includes you also. Whenever you look at him, you see the Savior. You're a fool. When you hear him speak, you hear the Savior speak. Give him a chance. Until you said that till he went over there and took your butt out of Gaddafi. Right? Now, this president such and such, and brother, you speak with a forked tongue. That's why we can't put no credit. We can't give you no credit or get behind you. Because you lukewarm. You not hot. You not cold. One minute you here, one minute you there. But you see, black man and black woman, there is no justice for you in America, whether they have a black man in office or a pink one in office, a white one or a purple one. You can have a plaid one in there. You're not going to get justice. Right? This is what Muhammad said.
Listen to me good. He said this. I remember when Saladin was talking about this. He said, brother, I was standing right there when the messenger said it. He said, and it buckled my knees. And he talked about, he said, every time I stood and watched the messenger, he said, the messenger always had something that'll knock you to your knees. He says, there's no such thing as the black man ever attaining the White House. And some of the black people say, see, Elijah Muhammad said no black man would ever get to the White House. He said, and then he said, the messenger says, but even if they give you the White House, Allah will fill hell with you all. So we know that Muhammad says that even if they give you the White House, Allah will fill hell with you all. So guess what, Mr. Obama? You're not just a citizen of America. You're a citizen of hell. And your actions have proved your devilishness against people who look like you. You have done nothing in the way of helping us. So why should we get mad when all of these white people jump on you because your policies are enacted for them and they faulted? Let them lay. If you're a child of the devil, let the devil discipline you. We need to stay out of that fight. It's not a fight for us. Right? So no jobs nowhere. The ever-increasing population of the black man in America. Think about this, brothers. Sisters, I want y'all to think about this for a minute. To have worked from sun up to sundown for 310 years, never receiving pay, never receiving justice. Then for another 100 and some years, the brutality, the injustice, and the unlawfulness of the people and their ways, and then their thought of you, their every thought of you is nigger, and they hate you. Their every thought of you is this now. And even though your forefathers, your sweat, your blood, your sacrifice has gone unnoticed, unrecognized, yet it built the back of America economically and militarily. And yet, illegal aliens can come up in here and their unemployment level is lower than yours. Huh? Is that not contempt for you? If that's not the highest level of contempt for you, black man and black woman, you crazy if you don't recognize that. Everybody's level of unemployment is lower than yours. Why? Nobody respects you, black man, black woman. Nobody. Look at the Koreans. Look at the Vietnamese. Look at the Indians. Boy, I can talk about them Indians. I'm telling you this. 'Cause for them to be black as we are, they know they hate us. But all of them, everybody comes and set up businesses in your community. Won't even let you skip by with a penny. They talk in their own language to mock you in your community. They put up gates on their windows and their doors, and they watch your every moment in your communities. And you make mark of them, and then you go right back to the store and buy your beer, buy your cigarette, buy your, like my grandpa used to say, buy your hog's foot, and buy your pickled sausages, you know, all this stuff. I'm aware of what you do. And then they take the wealth that you give to them out of your community and go live good, all the while having contempt for you while you give them money. And you still do it. This is a cycle of insanity. Your communities can't get better if you don't apply yourself to better them. Some black person moves into your community. He sees the situation. He opens up a store to try to capture the black market, but his prices are a little bit higher because he has to go through higher suppliers. You don't want to give him them extra 5 pennies. Because you don't realize, you're looking at right now, you don't realize that if you do this and you run them other competitors out of there, his prices drop dramatically. And then you are black-owned, black-loved in the black community where he can invest back in black to make you an independent community. You don't do that. You're insane. You're fools, brothers and sisters, and you are losing the way. And listen, because the light, that truth, that God gave us through the Honorable Elijah Muhammad shine in this dark vessel called the black man, and you comprehended it not, you are suffering untold miseries. You're suffering untold fatalities, hunger, all of the plights that are hitting America. Since you're at the bottom of the ladder, you're suffering it more. I can't get a job. I need a job. I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills. Those people cut my food stamps. Your food stamps. Your food stamps. Oh, brother, you just don't realize, sisters, you just don't realize the time that we're in. But listen, with the jobs, with the misdirection by Mr. Obama, and with all of the attempts to make you believe in America, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us on page 118. He says, there is no justice for the poor so-called Negroes in America so long as they are subjects under the American flag. Stop right there. No matter how high you attend to a position in America, no matter how high you ascend to a position in America, there's still no justice for the poor so-called Negroes as long as they are subjected under the American flag. To show you what I'm saying, you say, oh, no, I make such and such. Yeah, but how long? How long? Because jobs are dissipating and disappearing quickly. Listen to me good. To show you what he means, Michael Jackson was beloved by the white man. Michael Jackson was the megastar. He even started trying to look like him. But when Michael Jackson got a little knowledge of self and started speaking on them Jews in his records, all of a sudden children started coming out the woodwork. The white man's a trip. He can get you like that. He'll make the black man who swore their allegiance to you turn on you. I knew that nigga was like that. I knew it. That nigga ain't no good. That's how we are, brothers and sisters. But if they show something about a white person, you'll say, well, we ain't heard all the evidence. Let it all come out before we start judging. That's how we are. So they demonized his brother, ran this man's name through the mud, and finally they killed him. Again, no matter how high you ascend in this society, as long as you are under the American flag, there is no justice for you. Muhammad says it clearly. There is no justice for the poor, the so-called Negro in America, as long as they are subjects under the American flag. A great attempt is now being made on the poor so-called, lost found so-called Negroes to deceive them by making false friendships. That, you see, that holding hands with the different Reverend, Pastor Flager, or whatever his name, and L. Ron Hubbard, and all this. Listen to what he says. A great attempt is now being made on the poor, lost, found, so-called Negroes to deceive them by making false friendships and the passage of civil rights bills and forcing themselves to accept the lost, found, so-called Negroes into their social equality. This is only a trap for us. Stop right there. That last sentence right there is one magnificent piece of work. Muhammad says, this is only a trap for us. Then he says, look at this, Minister Farrakhan, open your ears, and all of you other so-called leaders out there, open your ears. Muhammad goes further and says this: to accept it will make us the enemies of God and our black people of Africa and Asia, who are our true friends. Now, to accept L. Ron Hubbard's hand, to accept Father Flager's hand, to accept Jim Jones. Y'all don't like to talk about Jim Jones, do it? To accept Jim Jones' hands, formerly. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad says this: to accept it will make us enemies of God and our black people of Africa and Asia, who are our true friends. And then he goes on and gives us some reasoning. Listen to this. He says this: it would be totally ignorant on our part to be swept away to our doom by accepting these maelstrom promises of social equality temptations. He is calling the leadership ignorant. He's calling those who follow the leadership who accept this ignorant. He says, not partly ignorant. He said, it would be totally ignorant on our part to be swept away to our doom by accepting these maelstrom promises of social equality temptations. Then he goes on and says this to the leadership, giving them a warning. He says, our ignorant masses cannot be trusted under the charms and temptations of unalike. But in the end, you will regret your actions. Huh? This is Elijah Muhammad. This is the truth of God. This is the exposing of the hypocrites and the manifesting of God's truth globally across the airwaves. Brothers and sisters, we have got to give ear to the truth of God, because we have not given ear and not lend our hearts over to God. We are suffering needlessly. We are hurting. We are going through hell. We are divided. All because we don't want to accept God's message through God's messenger the way that God intended it to be delivered to God's people. So we're going to catch God's wrath for rejecting God's will. That's how that goes, brothers and sisters. Now, before I bring Brother Minister John in, because the time is short, and I just looked up there and saw it, I forgot this is an hour show today, but we're going to go over a little bit because Brother Minister John will have to talk. I'm going to bring in the 310, you're on the Star and Crescent Report with your cyberspace family. We say unto you with peace and love, assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam. Big Brother Rashid, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing great, brother. I'm loving myself. I'm loving you. I'm loving my black people. I'm loving the God who came to us. I'm loving his messenger. How much greater can you get, brother?
Oh, brother, ain't no getting no greater than that, brother. I got to bear you 100% witness on that. I just got two cents to chime in on the timely subject you talking on concerning this false this integration and these leaders and all of the ignorant people seeking friendship with the white man. The messenger, I was listening to the messenger the other night, and he was talking about, you know, the pursuit of justice and how it is justice that we are after and that this devil has failed to give us. And he said for all these ignorant people who seeking social equality and this devil, they think they done attained social equality, he said that we've been in America for over 400 years, you know, as slaves. And he said that today here in America, you are as just as far off from friendship of the white slave master as you were 400 years ago. So for all these people who thinking they got the friendship of this beast, I beg to differ. All praises be to Master Farad Muhammad, brother. Go ahead with that good teaching, brother.
All praises due to Allah. Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother. Assalamu alaikum. And I'm gonna piggyback off that. We're going over today. We're gonna go over time, and y'all gonna listen because this truth is here for you, and the time is short. So I'm gonna read a quote, and I'm gonna piggyback off this brother for 1 second. And I'm trying to see if I can find a little clip on my dashboard. You know, the dashboard is going slow. It does that from time to time. It's not the computer, it's the dashboard. And I have about 3 computers up right now. So I'm looking for something that bears witness to what this brother was just telling you about this man. Brothers and sisters, first of all, let me go back to some on separation. Listen to what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, and this is newsworthy. Because some of us are falling victim to these leaders who have fallen in love with our open enemy. They talk Elijah Muhammad, but they have embraced the very people to whom Elijah Muhammad said his God came to remove. They are diametrically opposed to the true teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. When you embrace that which he has condemned, you are actually condemning that which God embraced, and embracing that which he condemned. Huh? Oh, come on, brothers and sisters. Use common sense, reasoning. Come on, talk to me. Here it is. Here's the clip right here on separation by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad.
Black Please. Muslims here is a separation of your people from the white folks. But since we have heard what you said now, your aim is really not only to separate yourselves from white people, but to destroy the white people. And that does mean that your theory has changed, or it has always been the same.
That's right. We must be separated from the American white people. We have been here under them as slaves for 400 years. They have mistreated us. They have beaten and killed us night and day. For the duration of that time, 400 years, we are still deprived of justice in America. We are not looked upon wholly as a human being. We don't have the rights of a human being here, not to think over civil rights. And we are asking for total separation. And if America doesn't wish to return us, if America doesn't wish to return us where we came from, then I am asking America to separate some of this territory where that we can live in a part of it to ourselves, set up our own borderline, and live and build a civilization like we want and not as he wants. And that he, we believe that he is obligated, should be, to finance us in that which we will not be able to produce for the next 25 years after total separation in some part of the earth that we can call our own country. He supports us there.
He has to support for, you.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Until we are able to produce the needs of our people.
In that quote, in that clip, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says total separation from white America, right? Now, if he is the man of God, and he is, and if he's the teacher of Louis Farrakhan and all of these other people, and he is, and if they got that learning, and as Farrakhan says, I was a no good, good for nothing man until this man put love in my head and in my heart for Allah, for him, and for you. So out of his own mouth, he bore witness that it was the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's sacrifice and God's mercy on him that put love in his heart, right? So we don't go to the student for the degree. We have to go to the teacher. And so if the teacher tells us this, and the student tells us something totally opposed to what the teachers say, we have to discard the student because the teacher is the one that grades our efforts, right? So Muhammad goes further on page 177 and says this. Listen closely. Rejection of self. That's the little part in here, the little sub chapter. He says this. We hear the statements of black educational, political, and Christian classes, which express their love for the white man, publicly asking to be his brothers, if not his brother-in-law. Stop right there. That is what they're teaching over under Farrakhan's camp. That is, I can absolutely say that because I've heard that doctor, whatever his name is, I forget, Aleem, I believe it is, said it, and I got clips of it. So they can't say that this is not what is being taught over there. But listen to what Muhammad says after this. Publicly asking to be his brothers, if not his brother-in-laws. Now this class wants to make it clear to the world that they really love the white race and not the black race. This means that they want to be white instead of black. The devils have made them to hate black. They reject the thought of black ever being the ruler or equal with the ruler. They ask boldly for inferiority, not only for themselves, but for their people. Stop right there. So all of this, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, the black man is this. I am the divine reminder. All of that is show. Listen to me good. That is show. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, when they embrace them over there, they openly
ask them to be their brothers and brother-in-laws. He says, and they openly show us that they desire to be white instead of black. And they boldly ask for inferiority, not only for themselves, but for their people. Then he goes on and says this. They want to absorb themselves and their kind, especially the so-called American Negro, into the race of white people, thus ending the black race. It is just the opposite. Didn't I just tell y'all? Listen to me good. I know what I'm talking about. Muhammad says that it's opposite. What is opposite? I'm going to go into what he says opposite. Brother Minister John, bear with me, because I got to get this to the letter and spirit to let the people see that those who are claiming Elijah are only using him as a veil to shield their dirty religion, their dirty exploits, and their filth and wicked desires and the desires of their masters. Muhammad says they want to absorb themselves and their kind, especially the so-called American Negro, into the race of white people, thus ending the black race. It is just the opposite with Allah, myself, and my followers. Stop right there. There we need to be. We need to be right there. He said, it is just the opposite with Allah, myself, and my followers. So those who are embracing the devil are not the followers of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. They are not embracing Allah. They are not embracing his messenger. They are not followers of Allah. They are not followers of his messenger. And they are not members of the Nation of Islam. I don't care nothing about a bow tie and calling yourself a FOI or MGT. If you are totally diametrically opposed to Allah, his messenger, his people, and the message that they brought and delivered and maintained, then you are an enemy of God. You are an enemy of God's messenger. You are enemies, right? This is what is going on. This is what is going on. Do you see this? So listen to this clip here. Listen to this clip right here. All right. And you could tell all of those preachers over there what to do. You could tell them where to go because this is the truth. And some people say, well, why are you fighting your brother? Well, Elijah Muhammad answers that right here.
So I fight against people who are against your cause. Does that include people who are like NAACP?
We fight them with the truth. We never intend to attack our own people unless they attack us.
Now, there's something that just came up, something that was just brought to my attention. Oh, and we're going into this thing pretty good. I'm going to bring Brother Minister John in, and then I'm going to try to jump back in. I'm going to mute my line, and I'm going to handle something and get some information that was just brought to me. So, brothers and sisters, please pay close attention. I'm bringing Brother Minister John in. Brother Minister John, like they say on Star Trek, you have begun.
As-salamu alaykum. My beloved brothers and sisters, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, the one God who came in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, to whom praise is due forever. We forever thank Allah for coming and raising up among you and I, our beloved leader, teaching guide, the most honorable and humble Elijah Muhammad. My beloved brothers and sisters, indeed we are living in the time of the judgment. And the honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us as we come into the judgment and in the time of the judgment, we find the people, both black and white, they are angry. They are angry. As the black man of America is angry because Almighty God Allah have revealed the devil, and Almighty God Allah have revealed the mysteries of God and the mysteries of the devil. So this is done in the time of the judgment. So we find black people here in America surrounded and loved by the devil. But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us, my brothers and sisters, we were born blind, deaf, and dumb in the wilderness of North America. But Almighty God, Allah, he is here today. So he said to us, fear not, no more. The black man, for our God, is on your side today. So you don't have to do the kind of thing that you used to do. You don't have to go and be like the master taught you how to do and be for 400 long years.
But to now, in the teaching of Islam, as taught by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, once you come into Islam, and once you first submit to Islam, first submit to Allah, first submit to his messenger, and the way, the straight way, then you on your road now to righteousness. And you cannot enter that road of righteousness unless you submit. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us, this day Allah said that he have given us an instrument. He have given us a full wisdom called supreme wisdom. This wisdom outshine. It outshine all the other wisdom that we was walking in for 400 years and especially for the last 6,000 years. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us today Allah in the person of a man, not in the person of a bush, not in the person of just hearing a voice, in the person of a man. He came and taught one of our brothers, a man born in the in America, in Sandersville, Georgia, who knows the aches and pains of our people here in America. So now we see the time of the judgment, and we see our people are being killed all over the world. We see our people are confused all over the world. We see the black man in America being killed in every city and every village and every hamlet in America. We see the black man lost from himself. You see the black man, truth is trampled underfoot for hearing the truth. But you are like crabs in a barrel. You're not trying to pull yourself up and come and try to be on the straight path. Regardless of how you have stumbled, get up and get back on the straight path. Islam is then come to destroy. It comes to save. It come to purify. It come to rectify that which was done unto you and that which you have done. So I say, my brothers, and I say, my sisters, the time of the judgment is now. And the white world is angry. And the black world is angry. That's why you see black people today killing black people. So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us, so there would come a time in the judgment, black would kill black, white would kill white. And what are you seeing today? You're seeing white people killing white people. You're seeing black people killing black people. Black people killing babies. White people killing babies. White people killing old folks. Black people killing old folks. White people killing their wives. Black people killing their wives. We see all of that in the time of the judgment. Now you and I must come out of and from among a people whom God have condemned and damned in this world and in this place called the wilderness of North America. This truth of God, this truth of the devil is now angering the people. The black man is mad because he is forced to accept truth before he could walk in falsehood and stink all the day long. But now he see people in his neighborhood. They are trying to be upright, trying to be clean while he's nasty, while his mouth is nasty, his thoughts are nasty, his very mind is nasty. So he don't think in an upward mind, he think in a low mind. So if you come in Islam, as taught by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, you and I will be able to stand. But what is it that we could stand on? Righteousness, truth, pureness, righteousness. That's our stand. Strive to be that. And you say it in your prayer. You are striving to be upright. Not that you're upright, you're striving to be. Some of you falling, but get up, back up. Don't wallow, get up, straighten up. I'm striving to be that which God have ordained us to be, because yes, by nature we are of God. And my beloved brothers and sisters, time is the essence. As I turn it back in the hands of Brother Minister Rashid Muhammad, as I say unto you, As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam. And brothers and sisters, I want you, before we go off the air, please take note of what Brother Minister John said. He is telling you the absolute truth of God, as he tells you, we have to struggle. We have to be right. We've got to get ourselves together. This thing is jumping off and it's escalating and intensifying left and right all across America. So now I say to you, what have you done in the cause of freedom, justice, and equality and the upliftment of your people? What have you done? What have you done towards rectifying the wrongs in your life? What have you done towards unifying with God, his messenger, and the message that they brought? What have you done? You need to look over those things. And as you look over those things, reflect inwardly and pray that Allah blesses you and keeps you from that wicked spirit of hypocrisy. Brothers and sisters, please remember that Allah don't make cowards. He make men, men and women. And brothers and sisters, if you are a follower of Allah and his messenger, you will be a man and a woman in righteousness, clothed in righteousness, bred in righteousness. And guess what? Righteousness never dies, brothers and sisters. We'll see you on our next show, brothers and sisters. We go out the same way we came in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is Master Farad Muhammad, and the name of his last and greatest messenger, the Jesus of Nazareth, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. We say unto you all in both their names, As-salamu alaykum, my dear brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining us. I say this, and we're having problem, technical difficulties. Blog Talk is stopping us from playing. It's stopping me from muting Brother Minister John, and it is also stopping me from playing the outro song, brothers and sisters. I don't know why at the end of the show. I guess we were so on fire that they're mad now. But go ahead on, brothers and sisters. We'll see you on the next side of the show. As-salamu alaykum.
For information on our next show, please visit trumpetoftruth.wordpress.com and click on the Blog Talk Radio button. Until we converse again, always remember, no matter how low society may have rendered you, the wisdom of the one true God will lift you on high. May God bless and keep you. The Star and Crescent Report was created and directed by Rashid Muhammad, produced by Nicole Muhammad, and hosted by Rashid Hiram, 1555 Muhammad. Have a blessed day.
That I like the moon I made.